Hello and a very good evening to you, and welcome to Under the Sun here on 88.2 Sanyu FM. It is a show where we get to look at some of the best stories from the best Ugandan writers. Under the Sun is a show that was devised by Graham Mott for the British Council, produced by Faith Kenani and Graham Mott. My name is Ben Winnet to present the show, and today we'll be looking at a beautiful story called Tortured at Six, written by Ebenezer Bikubieka. We'll also be talking to Professor Arthur Gakwandi as we enjoy a beautiful evening together and giving you a chance to win some prizes, and also asking you to give us a call and share your opinions or ask questions if you have any. Our story today is called Tortured at Six. It's about a six-year-old boy who is haunted by memories of Idi Amin and his soldiers who tortured his family in a conflict that he is too young to understand. And as his memories reach back, the story unfolds. Do remember to give us a call after the story, share your opinions or ask any questions that you might have. We'll also have a chance for you to win some goodies from British Council. Our phone line, in case you need to use it, is 041-343-663 or 0312-261-882 or 0751-882-882. Here's our story for today, written by Ebenezer Bifubieka, Tortured at Six.
Almost everything, although I was only six. I would like to forget, but I can't. In the night when I'm depressed, when I hear a similar phrase on the street, when the scar on my foot hurts, I remember almost everything. We have fled 25 kilometers away from our war-torn town of Mbarara and are camping at our farm in Rempogo village, southwestern Uganda. It's mid-afternoon, hot and peaceful in the sunshine. My daddy, granddaddy, and I are sitting on three-legged stools before our three-roomed thatched hut. We are listening to Radio Uganda. Ha! I see three tall men in army green uniform. They're invading our farm. They hurry through one paddock after the other. Their fierce movements remind me of a rumor that soldiers of war beat innocent people. Yesu! I mama. Baba, there come the soldiers. Maybe they have lost their way. I alert Baba while pointing at the soldiers in the farmland down the hill. Relax, my child, Baba says. They are just passing through. But the soldiers hurry towards us. Baba, let's run away. I ask Daddy with wobbly voice. Relax, he says again. The three soldiers hasten up the hill and walk towards our home. Soon, they reach our compound and stand before us. Two are dark, one is light-skinned. Each of them is carrying a rifle. One is holding an iron bar. Their uniforms have the silver pips of the Uganda Army on their shoulders. You are welcome, Baba honors the three strangers. One of them slaps him in the face, make him fall straight to the ground. Baba quickly turns back, stares at them as he rubs his face. Murenda chibasebo, Baba asks them what they want in Ruchiga. Nyamaza, lala sini, leta pesa. The dark soldier holding an iron rod orders Baba in Swahili. I have no money, sir, Baba replies. He lies down and so does my granddaddy. The dark soldier kicks our radio away. Unties Baba's wristwatch, pockets it, and starts hitting him. He strikes his buttocks, the thighs and arms, leaving his elbow bleeding. As the soldier flogs him, Baba screams out, Yesu! Yesu! We beg the torturers in Ruchiga to forgive him. Msasire! Msasire! Then my granddaddy explains, don't kill my son! The dark soldier orders him to shut up and produce money. Bana banje, titu innocente. Granddaddy responds in Ruchiga, pleading his poverty. Wacha maneno yako. The Swahili-speaking dark soldier warns him not to be stubborn. He shoves his hand inside daddy's and granddaddy's pockets, pulls out some coins from each and puts them in his own. The soldier summons our farm helper from the calf pen and orders him to round up all the family members weeding in the banana plantation. They all come. The soldiers ask my mummy to sit with her children on the big oven papyrus mat beside our kitchen hut. the soldiers forced all the men to produce their graduated tax tickets or school identity cards. All their documents are valid. Keep your documents and lie down, the dark one orders. He gives each one of them stroke of the lash. Go away! They run away rubbing their bruised buttocks. My eldest brother, Masiko, stays behind. The soldiers resume torturing my daddy and granddaddy. They strip them naked in our presence. Daddy tells them, we are born again Christians. Please have mercy on us. The soldiers ignore his appeal. They want him to shut up or else they will shoot him dead. I don't understand why these soldiers are so ruthless to us. Granddaddy beseeches the torturers, don't kill us. The soldier with an iron bar hits Granddaddy on his forehead this time, and he falls flat on the ground. He struggles and sits up. Something strange happens. The blood flowing from his forehead somehow makes the sign of a cross on his chest. Speaking Runyankore, the light-skinned soldier wonders if my granddaddy is a witch. We all keep quiet. My grandma gets up from the mat, rushes into the hut. She returns with a basin half filled with rainwater, starts rinsing the blood from granddaddy's injured forehead. The dark soldier pushes her to the ground and the water pours onto her chest and face. We weep. Please forgive them. I beg of you in the name of God. My mommy appeals to the soldiers in vain. I wail in fear, thinking of how I'm going to be an orphan. The soldiers surround us. Grandma remains lying flat on her back, motionless. We think she has died. My eldest sister Ruth gets up from the mat, rushes and assists Grandma to get up. No sooner does Ruth start using her hands to wipe Grandma's face than the dark soldier stops her. Stop it! Go back and sit! Ruth goes back to the mat, sits and starts crying. The soldier asks my brother Masiko to go away. Masiko hides himself behind our nearby kraal. The dark soldier with a gloomy face cocks his rifle. He points it directly at my daddy's forehead. Before he can shoot, his bullet falls to the ground. The gunman searches his trousers pockets for another bullet. Something tells me to go, pick the bullet, and give it back to him. Despite the pain in my left foot that the bicycle spokes injured as we fled to this place, I limped forward. I picked up the bullet and handed it to him. I don't know why I have done this. The soldier stares at me for some moments and looks at his colleague. Later, the gunman aims the weapon at my daddy. This time, I boldly intervene. Let us pray first. The three soldiers look at each other. They frown in astonishment. Trembling, the brown soldier begs the others not to kill innocent people. His dark-skinned colleague turns and glares. He points at the peeps on his shoulders. Are you the one who gave me this rank? The brown soldier answers. Were you given that rank to kill people? The two soldiers quarrel for about 5 minutes. The third soldier nods. I get scared. I limp back, join mommy on the mat and watch in horror. Eventually, they aim their rifles at daddy and granddaddy and command them to move to a nearby banana plantation. Stay there! One soldier orders us. Remain seated on the mat. The soldiers drive daddy and granddaddy to the plantation. We believe that the soldiers have isolated our parents to kill them. We mourn for them. About 2 hours later, we see them come back. Mukamasimwe! My mommy thanks God in Ruchiga. She heaves a sigh of relief. Alas, the soldiers are following them. Still on the mat, we wait to see what happens next. The soldiers walk away. Reaching the farm gate, one of the dark soldiers turns back and shouts in Swahili, Tutarudi! Immediately, the dark soldier commands his comrade, let's go. They leave. Mommy interprets, Tutarudi! Means, we'll be back. We rise and Mami dashes to the hut and picks blankets. We flee to the next hill in Bubare village, 1 kilometer away, leaving our herd of cattle behind. We camp in a roofless classroom without doors and windows for 7 days. Thank God it does not rain throughout our week-long stay. A fortnight later, The soldiers returned to our home to Rempogo as they promised.
Luckily, we have departed.
They find nobody apart from our unmilked cows mourning about the farm. They live without harming or stealing anything. We return home to Rempogo at last. The twilight is drawing the day to a close, sinking in a blood red glow behind the banana trees. Oh, the soldiers are not there anymore, but they are still here, here in my head. And although I was only 6, I remember almost everything.
And that's our story for today. Tortured at 6, written by Ebenezer Bufubiaka, who is with us in the studio today. He's a Antare Anbara High School old boy, which makes him my old boy. He graduated in mass communication from Makerere University. He is the New Vision Mbara Bureau correspondent, also chairman of the 11-member Mbara Environmental Advocates Link, and a former assistant news editor for Greater African Radio in Mbara. He has a keen interest in reporting on the environment, particularly on agricultural biodiversity, genetically modified organisms, and the terminator or sterile seeds, or the genetic use restriction technologies. He has published articles in foreign and local newspapers and online, and he was also on the Crossing Borders project in 2005. And it's good to have you with us, Ebenezer. Welcome to 88.2 Sanyu FM.
Thank you very much.
We're also very honored to have Professor Arthur Gakwandi, who was born in Ntungamo in southwestern Uganda in 1943, studied literature at the universities of Makerere and Edinburgh, and has taught literature at universities in Uganda, Nigeria, Kenya, and the USA. His best-known critical work is The Novel and Contemporary Experience in Africa, and his novel Kosia Chifefe is currently on the Uganda A-level syllabus. He has also served on as Uganda's ambassador to the OAU in Addis Ababa and to the UN office in Geneva. He is currently professor of literature at Makerere University and runs a private publishing firm, Bow and Arrow Publishers. What an honor to have you with us, Professor. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
First to you, Ebenezer. Beautiful story, Tortured at 6. Is that out of personal experience?
Yes, please. That's what I exactly experienced in 1979, when I was aged around 6.
Must have been. Tell us about that. What was it like at that time? Did you actually think your parents were going to be killed?
Yeah, I was scared. I knew they were going to be dead. I was crying, but I was not making noise, but tears were rolling down. I was really terrified.
And picking up the bullet and actually handing it back to the soldier, that took a lot of courage.
Yeah, like I said in the story, I don't know why I did that, but I found myself doing it.
Uh-huh. I must ask at this point, did the experiences you went through have any bearing on you eventually becoming a writer, or was that something that you've now used to retell your personal experiences?
Yeah, partially. Mainly, I was inspired by Northern War, when I have been reading stories in newspapers about how Kone was cutting the ribs and the noses of the people there. It reminded me and inspired me to write my own experience. Besides, I have a scar on my left foot, and whenever I feel pain, I remember that incident. I see pictures in my head as if I'm watching a movie. So that's what actually inspired me to write this piece.
And this is almost, what, 30 years ago now?
From 79,
yeah, but it's quite a very long time.
Yeah.
Professor Gakwandi, your thoughts on our story today, Tortured at 6?
Well, it's an impressive story that captures the feelings of a child in a war situation. You know, we normally try to protect children from war. They are not on the front line. They are not involved in the actual fighting. So in this case, the head of the family has taken the family away to a remote area to protect them. But the effects of war send ripples far and wide, even into the countryside. Even the cattle suffer. So some rampageous soldiers come out onto this farm, and then the child goes through very ugly experience, which will not go away for many years from his mind.
Do you feel that Ebenezer brings out that ugly experience very well using literature?
I think so, because he, in a very short space, he captures the fears, the tremors that the child experiences. It's the mental torture, because that child himself is not hurt. The adults are beaten up, all sorts of things happen. But, you know, watching his own parents and grandparents being tortured and humiliated is even more traumatic than the people who actually get beaten up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you'd like to give us a call and share your opinions on our story for today, maybe ask any question to either Professor Arthur Gakwandi or Ebenezer Bifubiaka, our phone line is 041-343-663, 041-343-672. You can reach us also on 0312-261-882 or 0751-882-882. If you'd like to get in touch with us, those are our numbers. Sanyu FM, hello.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah, my name is Isaac.
Yes, Isaac.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent work,
mm-hmm.
piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
I've really liked it, and it really brings out something that we can really relate to in our Ugandan situation.
Isaac, were you born at the time that Idi Amin was president of Uganda? Did you have any similar experience?
Not really, but from what I was told, it's something similar to what I really hear.
Yeah.
Now, I also wanted to win the hamper.
Okay, we'll be doing that in just a moment. We'll just take a couple of more phone calls and we'll give you a chance to give us a call if you want to win that beautiful British Council hamper. 041-343-663, that's our phone line. Sanyu FM, hello. Or 0751-882-882 or 0312-261-882. Professor, something else that I'd like to ask here. Literature being a very important part of society, and the kind of problems we've been having, especially maybe here in Uganda, do you think it is something we can use to bring peace, for example, through simply what you write? Can we change society by using literature?
Yes, I think so. I think literature creates shared memories that can be shared by a lot of people. So even people who have never had a direct experience of war can read this and empathize. Just like the caller I was just called, he hasn't been involved, but by reading the story, he comes close to the war situation,
mm-hmm.
which he wouldn't otherwise be involved in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. 0413436630413436720312261882. 0312-261-882. Give us a call if you've got any question or comments about our short story for today. Sanyu FM, hello.
Hello.
Good evening, madam.
Good evening.
What's your name?
Ian Kavali.
Ian Kavali.
Yes.
What do you think about our story today?
The story was quite nice. It gives a bad experience of war.
Have you had any such experiences yourself?
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
I would like to win a hamper anyway.
Okay, our hamper is... we have a very simple question for you, Ian. There were... how many languages were there in our story today, and what languages were they?
Okay, there were three languages. You mean the speakers?
All the languages used in the story for today.
Okay. The languages were English,
mm-hmm.
Luchiga, and Swahili. There are three languages.
Thank you very much for the call. Unfortunately, Ian, I'm going to have to tell you that you are wrong. That is not the total number of languages there are in our story. That is our simple question for today. If you can tell us how many languages there were in the story and what languages there were, we'll give you a beautiful British Council hamper that has an umbrella, a business card holder, a key ring, as well as a USB flash disk. Sanyu FM, hello.
Hello, Ben.
Yes, please.
My name is Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
What did you think about our story today?
The story was so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you alive at the time that Idi Amin and his soldiers were running rampage in Uganda?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet, I think.
Okay, a very simple question for you. How many languages were there in our story? What languages were they?
There were four.
And what languages were those?
There was Luganda, Luchiga, English, and Swahili.
Close, but not close enough, Julius Caesar. I like this, very interesting. Who has been paying attention to our story would like to hear from you. Give us a call. How many languages were there in our story? And what languages were they? Sanyu FM, hello.
Hello, this Good. Is Isaac again.
Yes, Isaac.
Yeah.
Your chance to win our hamper. How many?
Five.
And what languages were those?
They are Luganda,
mm-hmm.
Luchiga,
mm-hmm.
Runyankore,
mm-hmm.
Kiswahili,
mm-hmm.
and English.
Why did you get the Luganda?
The Luganda was used when
Have yourself a beautiful evening. We'll take just one last call if anyone wants to get this. How many languages were there in our story for today? What languages were there? Sanyo FM, hello.
Hello.
Good evening. What's your name? What's your name?
Dennis.
Dennis. Yes, Dennis. What is, how many languages were there and what languages were they?
There were four.
And what languages were those?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Swahili and English.
Dennis, what's your second name?
Eh?
What's your second name?
Wakabi Dennis.
Wakabi.
Yes.
Congratulations, Dennis. You actually got it right. It was four languages, and that was Ruchiga, Runyankole, Swahili, and English. You can come to Sanyo FM next week and pick your beautiful hamper from British Council. Just about time for us to leave. Any last thoughts from you, Professor Arthur Gakwandi? You've been doing a lot of literature. What would you advise people like Ebenezer who have started writing in the last couple of years and are looking to do that a lot more?
Well, I think authors don't need advice, but I can see inspiration, I can see talent. I would encourage him to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
and to make his stories more complex. But there's already a lot of complexity, we didn't get time to explore it. But I think a bit more hard work will create more interesting stories.
Ebenezer, are you looking forward to working on any other things? Crossing Borders project must have been exciting for you. Are you using the experience from there to do anything? Are you working on any other projects at the moment?
Yes, please. Right now I'm writing poems for Fountain Publishers. They want poems about AIDS for children in primary schools and secondary. And I'm looking forward to do poetry training with British Council. I was doing prose training and creative writing generally, but now I want to add on poetry, and I intend to write books about love novels and all that.
Wow, beautiful. Well, we'll leave it at there for now. Well, congratulations to you, Dennis Wakabi, for winning the British Council hamper. We'll be back next weekend, same time, 6 to 6.30 on Sunday. We'll be doing a story called Not Enough Reason by Jacqueline Amaguru Olanya. And do make it a point to join us, of course, Under the Sun, devised by Graham Mott for the British Council. It is produced by Faith Kenani and Graham Mott. My name is Ben Mwine to present the show.